The Piano Matters is a production of the Classical Network and is supported in part by listeners like you. Become a member at WWFM.org. Thank you. And we are off again. It's The Piano Matters. I'm David Dubal, and so glad, really, to be with you for an hour of wondrous piano playing and all kinds of piano music. I hope you had a good week. Did you take a walk? I did not. Did you see an exhibit of art? No, I did not. Did you go to a concert? I think I did. Did you watch any sports? Almost everyone in America does that. I wish I knew what you do. Most of all, I hope great numbers listen to The Piano Matters. Marilyn Ferguson, whoever she is, says, "All important advances are sudden intuitions, new ways of seeing. We have not fully recognized the process of leaping ahead. However, in part because of textbooks, they tame revolutions, whether cultural or scientific. They describe the advances as if they had been logical in their day. Not at all shocking. But our founding fathers were radical. Indeed, how did they avoid the group trap? Groups do not agree very much, and somehow the framers agreed that this country will be a republic." So let's begin our program with the E major sonata, a bright key always. And it's the most often played, I think, of all the Scarlatti sonatas. I don't know why. There are hundreds just as good, some perhaps better. However, the more we know a piece of music, the more we seem to like it. Well, I always like Dino Lapati, as you do. And his playing of the Longo 23, the sonata by Scarlatti, is perfect.
Thank you.
It will linger long in your ear, especially that dotted rhythm. The Scarlatti Sonata in E major, the player, a musician of many qualities, but one being impeccable taste. The early slaughtered Dino Lupazzi, who died at 33 from leukemia. I'm David Dubal. Look at pianoevenings.com for my series every Tuesday at 5:30 to 7:30, where I speak and have some wonderful young pianists perform. If you're in New York, try to come and listen to Piano Evenings with David Dubal, and you can look it up on pianoevenings.com. Next up, we hear an etude by Sergei Borkeevich. He was a Russian romantic, maybe a little syrupy at times. He's very effective, though, writes for the piano marvelously, and he's not a great composer, of course, but we can call him attractive. Yes, that word fits. We're going to hear his etude in D-flat major, opus 15, and it's on a label called Divine Art. And the player is Alfonso Soldano. We heard the 5 minute etude from the series of etudes, Opus 18. This one is number 5 in the ripe key of D flat major. I think it's the most popular of the Borkevich's etudes. And as I said, it was on the label Divine Art, and the player did a good job. His name, Alfonso Soldano. By the way, Borkevich was born near the time of Rachmaninoff, and so many of those Russian romantics born in 1877, so Rachmaninoff was 4, and he lived on until 1958. Not much is played anymore, and he's certainly not in the permanent repertoire. But as I said, he's attractive. It is literally welded to our psyches. Notice when viewing the next film you watch, there's more than a good chance that a piano will be somewhere in the movie. It's not necessarily played. I think it makes people feel good to see a piano. Franz Liszt, 1811-1886, one of the great souls of all time, in my opinion. He wrote an amazing amount of piano transcriptions, and I'd like you to hear one that is rarely played, very effective, but for me, also exceedingly seductive. It's the wondrous Liszt piece called Valse de Concert, and it's on two motifs from Donizetti operas, one being from Lucia de Lammermoor and the other from an unknown opera by Donizetti called Parisina. Louis Kentner was a fine musician and played a great deal of Liszt. Let's listen to the wonderfully inventive Valse de Concert on themes of Donizetti. So what did you think of that? It's very likely that you never heard the Valse de Concert paraphrase, although you have heard definitely the Rigoletto paraphrase. Liszt loved Italian opera, and he mined it beautifully for the piano. The performer was Louis Kentner, who, by the way, I didn't know this, was the brother-in-law of Yehudi Menuhin. Yes, this is The Piano Matters. There's an old proverb saying, to stay sane, play the piano daily. And you know, you can find pianos now everywhere. I mean, it's incredible how many are being thrown out. Well, mostly there's just no space to live in. I saw one on the street the other day, and this piano looked at me and said, I am lonely. Many of us have seen the name Miklos Rocha, a Hungarian who came to Hollywood in its golden days and composed very effective movie music. Well, he also wrote a piano sonata in three movements in 1953 for the American virtuoso pianist Leonard Panario. That was a name once well known, but he's seldom talked of today. However, MSR, another small label, has published Leonard Panario's early recordings from 1950 through 1958, and they're really quite something. Here is Rocha's last movement of the piano sonata, and his dates, 1907-1995.
Thank you.
best known for his film music, Miklos Rocha composed a piano sonata for Leonard Panario. Panario, an American pianist who had once a major career, and this is the only recording I know of, this sonata by Rocha. I'm your programmer, your host, etc., David Dubal on The Piano Matters. Barbara Nisman, a longtime and fine friend of mine, she's a glorious performer in a vast repertoire. Not too long ago, she got into the self-publishing world and began her own label. Why not? She's a great Prokofievian, and she calls her label Three Oranges Recording, presumably inspired by Prokofiev's little and celebrated march from the love of three oranges. Anyway, the website's called Three Oranges Recordings, one word, .com. And look at all that Barbara Nisman has accomplished. On this disc, she gives the world Rachmaninoff's dense and compelling Sonata No. 2 in B-flat minor, Opus 36. In its original version, though, not from the one that is usually played from the early 1930s, and this is from 1913. So here she is, and I think you will like it as much as she likes her playing of it. So she told me. The piece means also a great deal to Barbara Nisman. Thank you. Barbara Nisman playing her heart out in the finale of Rachmaninoff's Second Sonata in the original version from 1913, 1 year before that first horrid war. This is The Piano Matters, and you know I'm glad to be with you. We love the piano, and many do, but they may not know about the show. So tell all your friends, please. Here is a new rule from the inimitable Bill Maher. Computers aren't for voting. Voting by computers sounds really cool and futuristic if this were 1969. But now that we all have computers, we know that they are, in fact, horrid machines, often. So you thought the 2000 election was bad. Wait until the next one is decided by a customer service rep in New Delhi. Well, Bill, how did you like the 2016 election? And, oh dear, the 2020 coming up. Not cool anymore. But can't we have the great God paper back so we can ballot much easier? In the 1960s and 70s, the name Augustin Agnevis shone brightly in the piano world. And today he's little known. And I know this charming man a little and always admired his fine musicality and smooth piano technique. We're going to listen to the wondrous Etude Opus 10, number 3. What a melody. In fact, when a pupil of Chopin played that etude for him, Chopin wept and said, "Oh, my fatherland." Well, it's a magnificent melody, and it has an incredibly adventurous middle section. The work is 4 minutes, and it's world famous. The pianist, Augustin Agnevis. Thank you. sometimes called the Tristesse Etude, and we heard it well delineated by Augustin Onieves. Each week, the Piano Matters is heard on this station, same time, every time. Let's return to the two hands of Karine Pogosyan, and she performs from her recent Centaur recording, the Rachmaninoff song, Lilacs. Karine Pogosyan's first recording was of Khachaturian, and it's been well acclaimed. I had it on the show, and she's also a young woman who loves her piano and is acquiring many fans everywhere, and indeed, she's expanding her career to Europe. Well, she plays in New York every year. Here is a small piece from that new recording called Lilacs, one of the two songs that the great Rachmaninoff transcribed from his 108 songs for the piano. It's for solo piano. A great performance, by the way, also is by Moiseevich. So here she is, Karine Pogosyan. That was from her recent Centaur CD. Karine Pogosyan played that small gem, Lilacs, by the Rock, Rachmaninoff. On this disc, she also plays other Rachmaninoff, including the Six Moment Musico. But let's continue with her recording, this new recording on Centaur, and listen to the really brilliant transcription. It's in three scenes by the Busoni pupil Guido Augusti. It's the finale we will hear from Stravinsky's Firebird. It's a terrific piece, and here is Karine Pogosyan. Thank you. You heard Carne Pagosian playing Augusti's transcription from The Firebird of Stravinsky, the ballet that made, as Diaghilev said, the moment they'll hear it, you will be famous, and it was true in 1908. So I think it was a good show with many, many, many different areas of the piano literature. Join me next week, please, for more of the piano literature and its many, many gems. Do you know the writing of Wendell Berry? Very interesting man. And by the way, we've talked about computers in our quotes. He does not use even a typewriter, just the pencil. He writes this: "The field must remember the forest, and the town must remember the field, so that the wheel of life will turn and the dying be met by the newborn." This is David Dubal. Thank you for listening. Matters is a production of the Classical Network. It is recorded at the Kaufman Music Center, home of Merkin Concert Hall, 129 West 67th Street in New York City. The producer, Rachel Katz. For a playlist, go to wwfm.org, click on Classical, and choose Search Playlists. The Piano Matters is made possible with the support of the listener members of the Classical Network.